Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 21st day of February 2024. And this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week. And so, folks, we're going to get into that. We really need to hear from you. We got a lot to tell you tonight, so stay tuned. Way back in the back there in the phone booth, we have Randy and Eric and Frank. And then we have our producer tonight in the glass cage. Is none of the style.
Hey, how's it going, Pastor?
Good. And we have right here in the studio marm, nicknamed Olive Oil.
Oh.
That's right. I'm going to put it out.
Oh, dear.
None other than Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. All right. That's an esoteric message there, folks. So now we have way out yonder that legendary backroads preacher. And Olive Oil just stumbled in the studio here. She got up and she forgot to take her headset off. And she got snagged, man, like lassoing a horse, okay? She got caught up. But anyhow, and then way out yonder in North Carolina, we have the queen of the apothecary, none other than the all-natural woman, Miss Wendy Wilson.
Good evening, Pastor. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here with us again tonight.
He kind of started to introduce me, and then he forgot to mention me, so I'll just say hi.
Oh, okay.
Senior moment. Yes.
Okay. let's see. What was your name again? No, that's the legend, Jerry. That's the infamous. Parson, Joe Larson.
Infamous is the word.
Infamous. Okay, very good. Well, we have a lot to get to tonight, so we better get after it. Do you remember the title of the message?
Lesser Magistrates, Then and Now.
All righty, so for folks out there that don't know what a lesser magistrate is, when setting authorities act in opposition to God's sovereign laws and statutes, those who stand in the gap on the Lord's side are called lesser magistrates. And tonight we're going to pick up with two lesser magistrates. And Joe, we're going to go to, we'll start with verse 8 instead of verse 15 tonight.
All right.
Okay. And so read.
And we'll be in chapter
1.
2 of Exodus.
No, chapter 1 of Exodus.
Chapter 1 of Exodus, okay.
That's what I said. Why don't you read?
Start with verse 8. All right.
Yeah, read verse 8 through 14.
All right. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. And you should stop at where?
Okay, verse 14.
14, okay. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Phidom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, all of their service wherein they were made them serve was with rigor.
All right. Do you remember how they ended up in Egypt for the 400 years?
They had gone down because of famine in the land, and they went to the family of Joseph, went down to see about getting food in Egypt.
Yep.
And there they found the boy of the coat of many colors was now in charge.
And so what happened when he died? There was
I guess everybody just kind of stayed. They were there. They'd been granted many blessings and increased their lot in life, and they stayed.
And so here now, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. Now, you know, today, I mean, those names may sound a little strange to us today, Shiphrah and Puah, but they were like Jane and Mary in that day, very common names back in that day. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them up on the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Now, they were government employees. They would be what you would refer to as federal employees of the government, okay? And so here now, they said, but the midwives feared God. So Pharaoh says, look, hey, Wendy, do you know how they killed those the boy babies?
I don't know how they were supposed to kill them, no.
They had a bucket of water. If it was a boy, they would put him in and drown him right there. And then you know what they did with those babies? These were like mm-hmm. Democrats, okay? They took them to the Nile, and they offered them up to the god of the Nile. And they had a big statue.
Crocodiles.
Pardon?
To the crocodiles, basically. Crocodile food.
Well, they had a statue of a man's body with a crocodile's head. And that was their god. And so they would toss them in and feed those babies to the crocodiles. You're right. And so that was their offering. Now, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king commanded them, but saved the men's children alive. What do you think the penalty would have been because that would be considered treason? And how do you think the king would have dealt with that?
That would have been death.
Yeah, and not a quick death either, huh?
Don't know. I'm sure they have six torture methods in their heads. I don't know.
And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto to Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives are coming to them. Now, there are a number of things people or commentaries have said that these women were lying, okay? But they weren't lying. Now, Wendy, I can't remember which way it is, but they used to say if you carry a baby low I think it's a boy, but if you carry it high, it's a girl. Do you remember which one that was?
I've heard it too, but I don't know which one it is either.
Oh, okay. And so, it doesn't matter. I know I was always carried right in between. No. Wait a minute. I better watch what I'm saying. I might end up as a trans thing. Okay. Oh, no. But anyhow, what they did is they weren't lying. They knew that when they suspected, they had a way of telling pretty much whether it was going to be a boy or a girl back in those days. So when the midwives got the word that they're about to deliver a boy, they just took their good old time getting there, gave them enough time for that baby to be delivered and hid away, like they did with Moses. And so he goes in and he says, "Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses." What do you think that actual, what that meant in that day in the economy, to have a house?
No, I'm sure it was extremely beneficial and a huge gift. Yeah.
Only the wealthy could afford houses in those days, huh?
Right.
Okay. Alrighty, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." All right, folks, we have the phone numbers are 888. We got to get some calls. We got to get some pledges. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Again, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Nationwide, we're waiting for, Wendy has pledged for the third time, $320. Oh, boy, you have been right with us. We appreciate it, Wendy, a lot.
Oh, my pleasure.
And John in Cleveland has pledged 30. And so do we have a match? Can we get a match for Wendy's 320 or John's 30? 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. So here now, tell me how they were lesser magistrates.
Well, they disobeyed the Pharaoh's order, and they stood up for God. And even though they weren't above authority in the world, God gave them presence and standing.
One time I had a preacher who actually ended up hosting this program because I was in the prisons, and Pastor Lenz was supposed to be hosting it, but he took sick at the last minute. He knew I couldn't be back. So he got another preacher in here, a friend of his, and that guy said live on the air that you would never catch him picketing in front of an abortion mill as long as abortion was legal. We had to obey the government. Now, he didn't know I was listening. I was on my way home. And so what would you have told him, Joe?
I'd have told him that apparently he didn't have much faith and trust in God, for one, and that we are supposed to reprove, rebuke, and we know that God hated, he hates the shedding of innocent blood. He pretty much said, "Thou shalt not, cannot, must not, will not shed innocent blood." And if God says something that strongly, we are to preach it like he taught it.
All right, well, he quoted, he said Romans 13, which a lot of these neo-evangelicals will run to there if they don't have the courage to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. They will try to take you to Romans 13. But you know what? That doesn't work very well.
They don't have courage. They also have a huge lack of faith, because if you have faith, you have courage.
Absolutely, and so here, when he told me, "You'll never catch me out there," I said, "I will never catch you doing anything that it takes any courage to do. And now here, I want to take him over there to Romans 13 for a minute, because Romans 13 says means exactly. Romans 13 means exactly what it says. And here's what it says. Let every soul be subjected to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so here now, that word powers that's referring to is authority. Right. Now, what does that mean to be ordained?
Authority.
Okay, Bernice in Cleveland pledges 50. Thank you, Bernice. What does that mean to be ordained, Joe?
Ordained means to be called and chosen by God.
It means to be set aside, right? Okay, now, if you're set aside to do what?
To be used by him for his purpose.
All right.
Whatever that is. You can be ordained to be a teacher, a pastor. You can be ordained to be an evangelist, a healthcare worker, all kinds of things when he calls you.
Okay, so when God ordains you, does he ordain you to be in compliance with his laws, ordinances, statutes?
Yes.
Okay, so now,
you're representing him on earth. You're his hands and feet and mouth on earth.
Whoso therefore resisteth the power or authority, resisteth the ordinance of God.
God, yeah.
And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Two things here, right? Yeah. The ordinance means what?
The law, the whatever is the ordinance, the statute, the judgment.
Okay, so what does it say in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 7, where we got the statute there, or the ordinance, if you will, of the death penalty? Why did God give us that statute of a death penalty?
Well, because he said, by whom man's blood is shed, so shall his be shed, something like that.
Well, yeah, but the point that he was making was that God gave man dominion over the environment,
yeah,
but kept dominion of man for himself. So to destroy the image of God is to transgress God's dominion. That's to break into God's house. That's to try to rob God, right?
Right.
And so
the exact verse is verse 6 there. For whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man.
So to destroy the image of God is to transgress the dominion of God.
Right. Very much.
Okay, so now here he goes on to say, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, what was the very first command that God gave man? And by the time you got to Genesis 19 or Genesis 9, where he gave us the divine institution of human government, by the time we got there, he had given that same commandment for the third time. What was the first commandment he gave us? Be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah. Multiply.
How does that deal with abortion?
Yeah, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite. It's diametrically opposed to be fruitful and multiply.
All right. So if they're killing babies, the lesser magistrate is out there to do like what Shifra and Pua was doing, right?
To prevent them from killing the babies.
So this preacher that I was telling you about, who said to me, I don't find any place in the Bible where it says that I'm to stand against the government. I said, really? I said, have you ever heard of the prison epistles? He said, well, of course I have. I said, why are they called the prison epistles? Well, they were written from prison. Very good. Why were the apostles in prison? Were they in prison for obeying God or government? Boy, you make a good point there. I never thought of that. I might have to rethink my doctrine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Look, you look at verse 4 there in Romans 13, it says very plainly, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. And then it says, for he is the minister of God. If you're a minister of God, you must what? Obey God. You're not to obey man, you're to obey God, because that's what's called. If you're a minister, you belong to him, and you are to teach and preach and do what he says.
How has all of your New Age versions changed that? They've changed several words in this, okay? First of all, many of them changed in the very beginning where it talks about, for there is no power. They've changed that word from power to government.
Well, that changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, then they've changed this word from minister in verse 4 to servant. Now, well, a minister is certainly a servant of God, but what's the difference?
Well, anyone can be a servant, but few are called to be ministers.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Has God used even demons as servants?
Yes.
Has God even used Satan as a servant?
Yes. He let Satan go after Job to show a point to the rest of us about faith.
Okay. Did he use lying spirits, okay, to go after and to lie to Ahab?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so then, what about...
He used the Babylonians to punish the children of Israel for their disobedience.
What about Balaam's ass? Okay.
Yeah, he used a donkey, a talking donkey.
Yeah, and so, anyhow, there's a big difference between a minister and a servant. Now, ministers are to do what? They're to be ministers using... Well, let's go here first. What does that word good mean? The definition of good here.
Godly.
God's laws, statutes, ordinances, covenants, promises. If you go to 119th Psalm, it's got the whole listing of what is good there. All of those things are good. So when you're in compliance with all of those things, you're doing good, right?
Yeah, that's a long list. I was trying to think of where it was, but that's a long list.
Well, you better read that and get in line. All right. Let me see here. He says, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword of aid. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Now, he uses the word damnation in verse 2. How is that compared to the word condemnation? What's the difference?
Damnation's worse.
It is. For what reason? Do you know?
Condemnation, you're condemning someone, but damnation is where you're actually suffering the pangs, I would say, the torment of hell.
All right, you've got that. That's right, you carried out the sentence. Mm-hmm. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. What does that mean? Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. How does that deal apply to you and I?
Well, God is, well, in our case, our conscience is the Holy Spirit that's guiding and directing and probing us to do good, to do right in the sight of the Lord. So that would be the way I would look at it.
How would you apply that to growing up when you were a kid and your parents told you to do something you didn't necessarily want to do?
Oh, my conscience would bother me if I tried to get out of it. Sometimes I would do it anyway, but my conscience would always be nagging at me that I did something wrong, bad.
So
conscience was a lousy thing when you're a kid. I even went and told on myself.
Did you have to sometimes wonder what hurt worse, your conscience or your backside?
No, because my conscience was bad enough. I went and told it myself, knowing what was going to happen. So I'd say the conscience hurt worse.
All right. If I'd have known you when we were kids, I'd have told them on you too, Joe.
No. They usually had it already figured out before I got there.
All right.
My mother had eyes in the back of her head.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know how mothers do that, but I swear she could see behind her when, you know, there's no way she could see, but she did. She knew.
Yeah, they have a way of doing that, right, Wendy?
Yeah, I used to hear that as a grown up as a kid, and then when my kids were small, I told them the same thing, and my daughter said when she was in high school, she says, you know, when you told me that, I thought for the longest time you had eyes in the back of your head, you know, because she was, you know, a toddler, you know, she, and that made me laugh, but, you know, yeah, we try to keep the kids in line. We stimulate them with rational thinking.
All right, very good.
That's what it was called, huh?
And, well, listen, we'll be back right after this. And now the end is near. If you're not saved, then you're hurting. It's him that you should fear. And that's the truth, I know for certain. He gave me life that's eternal. He kept me from going astray. He's God, and this I know. He did it his way. Regrets, he's had none. Not even one that I can mention. He saved you and I. He brought us through without exemption. Planned each charted course, a guiding light along the pathway. For sure, not more or less, he did it his way. Throughout ancient times, I know it's true. There was never anything that he couldn't do. My faith in him never was any doubt. What he said, he carried out. All in all, as I recall, he did it his way. He lived, he suffered and died, but he arose in power and glory. In him, I now abide, for history is just his story. His word is where life's at. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, no, not me, he did it his way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his reward, then he has not. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows
but we all know he did it his way. A broken heart he can heal, and in his word the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way.
Oh, yeah, he did it his way. He's doing it his way, and he's going to get his way, folks. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of folks out there in for a rude awakening. They better wake up. And Betty in Michigan pledges 100. Thank you, Betty. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Hey, Wendy, you always have interesting information. What do you have for us tonight?
I found some new research. I think women, men and women, but women mostly will find very important because for decades, you know, science has been cautioning patients, especially women, about the health issues due to bone mineral loss. So in this recent study that I read, it appears that the medical science kind of makes a lot of assumptions with no real scientific evidence to back it up. Now, it seems that science has been painting this picture for women that they will have bone loss and must take drugs. So when the actual loss of bone is far less significant than what was actually occurring, now we're going to take a look at this. This was a study, October 2021, from the University of Eastern Finland. They looked at postmenopausal women because science has often reported that women during menopause lose bone density. So this study is different because it followed these women in the study for 25 years. This follow-up is important because most studies have far less follow-up of just a few years. Therefore, in the 25 years of pre- to post-menopause, the report said women may lose up to 10% of mineral bone density. Now, notice that they may lose up to 10%. They may not lose that much at all. So the Finland study started in 1989, and they had women in the study between ages of 47 to 56, and they were living in Kuopio region of eastern Finland. About 14,200 women participated in the study, and they were assessed every 5 years during the course of 25 years. Now, this research did get published in the October 2021 Journal of Bone and Mineral Research. So whereas now the National Institute of Health, Center for Biotechnology in the United States, in March 2008, what they reported is that women will lose between 30 to 50% of their bone density around menopause. Now, you see that big difference there?
Boy, do I see a difference, yeah.
Okay. So what the National Institute of Health said in their report, they said bone mineral density loss increases substantially in the late perimenopause and remains rapid in the first few postmenopausal years. Whereas the Finland study says, being our Finland study is the world's longest follow-up of changes in bone mineral density in postmenopausal women, the study shows that bone loss around menopause is significantly lower than was previously assumed on the basis of scientific studies. Now we're going to find out why that is. So in the National Institute of Health study, in their report, there was a disclosure, okay? And the lead researcher, Joel Finkelstein, he's on the Speakers Bureau for Merck and Novartis Pharmaceuticals. And he's also a consultant for Eli Lilly and Novartis.
Who would have ever thought, huh?
Right. So Finkelstein also receives research support from these drug companies. And in addition to Finkelstein's conflict of interest, Mary Fran Sower, who is also involved in the research, has accepted lecture fees from Weiss Pharmaceuticals. So also the research was funded by the following sponsors: Sorvay Pharmaceuticals, AstraZeneca, Ardania Bioscience, GlaxoSmithKline, Roche Pharmaceuticals, Bar Pharmaceuticals, and Eli Lilly. So, Pastor, there are 82 bone density drugs on the market made by several pharmaceutical companies involved in that 2008 study. The top manufacturers are Eli Lilly, Roche, Pfizer, and Merck. So the National Institute of Health Biotechnology Center also donated funds to that research through their SWAN grant. Now, their report stated that there is, quote, rapid mineral bone loss in the first few perimenopausal years, which tells me that the drug companies want women screened early prior to menopause and then get put on these drugs as soon as possible. Because according to the North American Menopause Society, the perimenopause time frame is 8 to 10 years before the onset of menopause, starting with women in their 40s. So this is why there's a push for doctors to send women through a so-called physical, when it's really sending them through test studies to actually persuade them that they have a problem.
All righty. Bob and Lori in Michigan pledge 75. Yes. Joyce in New Jersey pledges 40. And Marilyn from California pledges 100. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Great.
All right, I got to give that number out again. Oh, Gene from Ohio pledges 300. All right, there you go. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Go ahead, Wendy.
Okay, so in the Finland report, they also said hormone drug therapy can also mess up a woman's bone density, and that would include thyroid medications and birth control drugs. They also stated that the women in their study had no weight gain issues. And your hormone drugs often can cause weight gain, including your steroid hormone medications. However, patients aren't often disclosed this type of information, which brings us to the bone density scans. So these machines that do the scans are calibrated where women of petite size fail the test. And according to the National Center for Health Statistics, the average height for an adult woman in the United States is 5'3". And by comparison, a woman that's 5'8" or over, or taller than that, they're only about 3.9% of the female population. Therefore, a majority of women getting the bone density scans are actually going to, they're actually going through a test to help their doctor sell them on the osteoporosis drug therapy because they're going to automatically fail the test. So with the statistics on U.S. women over 40 years of age, that the average height is 5'3", it's approximately 135 million females in America. So the average cost of bone loss medications is about $105 or $58 if you have insurance. So we're talking about revenues of over $7 billion every year just on bone density drug therapy.
And you know, it's the amazing thing. Lord's willing, Sunday I'm going to be preaching, unless the Lord changes it up. And do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? And do you know what I know? And think about that. Pharmakia, people, they don't realize out there where this word pharmacy comes from. And these drugs... Okay, you know, that word literally means warlock or witchcraft.
Right.
Okay, people don't realize that. I mean, if you were to go out and stand on the street and probably ask 100 people, what does that word mean? How many of them do you think would know what it means?
Some might. I think a majority may have an inkling. But, you know, people don't even know what alchemy is either. And alchemy was a wizardry, a sorcery type of medical treatment back in the ancient world of Babylon. And they're still practicing that today in our national healthcare system because in alchemy they were using heavy metals as well as, you know, crystals and incantations. You have heavy metals of mercury in your vaccine, so it's still being carried out.
Yeah, I know that. It's just an amazing thing. How many? We're going to, on Friday, they did a big study that we're going to be talking about and this is Christian psychiatry, where now they're using so-called Christian psychiatrists are promoting Prozac and these other drugs that are supposed to be for people who are depressed, have depression and things. And this big study was just done. And you know what they found out?
What?
That given the drugs that they have for depression, that big pharma that the wizards are making tons of money on, and placebos, given that, they did the test, and there's not even a measurable difference in the effectiveness. In other words, the people that think that the drugs that they have are actually working when they're not, you know, the results are about the same as those that are actually taking the drug.
So what that means
is if those that are taking the placebo without side effects, because there wouldn't be side effects, have the same result because they think that the drug's working. Did you ever hear mind over matter?
Yeah.
Okay. Have the same result where it comes to the depression as those that are taking the drugs with, and a lot of times with these drugs, you can have a lot of bad. In fact, just about all of these shooters are on these psychotropic drugs, these that they're giving, these high school shooters and that, they're on Prozac and these other things, about what, almost 100%.
Can I interrupt? Actually, what happened was the violence happened when they quit taking the drugs, because those drugs must be tapered off gradually. And most of those shooters had been on heavy doses and just quit taking, which caused a lot of the violent reactions.
So those violent reactions, would you say, are a bad side effect?
Yeah, well.
888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. And phone lines, right now is a perfect time to call in a pledge, right now. And so,
did you notice, too, that a lot of the shooters we're seeing in these lately are people with mental illness? A lot of these transgenders are also taking medications, drugs, and they're the ones, these acts of violence lately. You can go back and it's almost exactly the same scenario. Mental illness, drug use, overuse, or overprescription of drugs cause more trouble, I think, than the original problems.
Today, I think I witnessed someone who was what they do call the transitioning. It was a woman, a very heavy set woman. It's a woman for sure. But she had a little beard. She had a beard, like a little goatee. And I think that's probably from taking male hormones. What do you think, Wendy?
Well, I mean, hormone prescription therapies can be kind of tricky. So especially if you're, you know, even for, you know, thyroid issues, I think. So a lot of times the doctors have to, it's a little bit of trial and error on some of it. But even your medical symbol with the staff and the snake, Dr. Truott traced that medical symbol back to ancient Babylon.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a witch doctor's symbol. That's what it is. So the witch doctors would walk up and down the aisle between patients either lying on the floor or on small cots. And if they would have a poisonous snake on a staff, and if the snake bit you and you lived, you were cured.
Wow.
Yeah. But I have a little bit more on my research. Can I finish?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I want to read you a quote from professor at the University of Eastern Finland. His name is Helkiki Kroger. He said, this new long-term follow-up study of bone mineral density sheds significant new light on osteoporosis and bone research and also changes our understanding of bone loss in older women, end of quote. So for healthy bones, you need healthy foods, basically. That's the way we were designed. And prior to the flood, what did we eat, Pastor?
Prior to the flood? Well, you ate herbs, vegetables.
You ate plants. Yeah, yep. You're a plant eater. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here's some of the foods that are going to have naturally containing calcium. I'm going to get to why this is really important. Salmon, sardines, kale, collards, broccoli, mustard greens, turnip greens, bok choy, sesame seeds, your fruits and vegetables in general, sunflower seeds, and millet and oats. And there's some herbs that also contain calcium, so they have a calcium profile. So I like to use certain herbs that have this proper chemistry or balance of your calcium. So when you look at your green leafy vegetables, oranges, and some of your medicinal herbs that have calcium, the chemistry is always going to be the same. It'll always be paired with boron and magnesium. So the boron and magnesium allow for the absorption of the calcium so the body can uptake it and use it. So if you've got supplements of calcium without boron and magnesium, you're not really absorbing calcium. I like horsetail herb, comfrey root, lobelia, and oat straw. These are great herbs with a calcium profile. And they'll always have that chemistry I just talked about, calcium, boron, and magnesium. And it's real specific. It'll have two parts calcium to one part boron and one part magnesium. And the Native American Indians recognized one of the herbs I mentioned, comfrey root. They called it bone knit. So if you have a fracture or a break of a bone, they would actually use this herb, and they would heal the bone in half the time. So if you break something, you're probably going to be put in a cast, and you're going to wear it for 6 weeks. That's usually the average length of time for a bone to heal. But if you use the bone knit, like the Indians did, or the comfrey root, you will heal that bone in 3 weeks. Scientific Medicine did a study on this, Pastor. They were trying to test their new drug to help the elderly who fall and fracture things and break things to heal faster, and their test comparison was comfrey root. I was laughing because comfrey root just showed up that drug left and right, and the drug didn't do hardly anything, and so they really didn't do much with it. It got published, but nobody knows about it, really. I mean, other than maybe doctors that are in the bone specialty in medicine, they read it, but there's no money to be made with comfrey root, so you're not going to know it, patients out there. You're just not going to know it.
You know, I've always wondered how they find out these things. Like, how did the Indians find out that comfrey root would be good for that? I've always wondered.
One of the ways that they learned their medicine trade is they would observe animals. Okay? So if animals ate certain berries but wouldn't eat other berries, they assumed the other berries they wouldn't eat were poisonous and not good for you. So they wouldn't eat those berries. So if they observed an animal that, you know, was limping along, maybe had a broken leg and would start munching on comfrey, and then they got better, then that was an indication to the Indians. They were very observant in their surroundings like that. They watched animals a lot. Yeah.
Is comfrey root something very common?
You said there's no money in it.
I mean, it must be that easily available. I don't think, as a rancher, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's the FDA doesn't like it. They don't really want you to have it. I think they took it off their grass list. Grass list means generally recognized as safe, and it's usually the way they test certain things. They say it's toxic to the liver. Well, the way they test stuff is they give you way too much of it, and you're taking it in a way that you would normally not take it, like through an injection. They did the same thing to lobelia. They took 30 pounds of the plant, took out the strongest alkaloid out of 16 alkaloids in the plant, made a serum out of it, injected into lab rats, and they died. so they took it off the safe list. First
Brother,
and foremost, yeah, you wouldn't take it that way, and they altered it, is what they did. See, so but they don't. The comfrey root you don't take long term. You don't take it every day like a multivitamin. You just take it for a short time. So a lot of people will use these herbs with your natural calcium, boron, and magnesium for maybe a few weeks to a few months, and then you're good to go.
I use herbs all the time. You know where I get them? I get them from Apothecary Herbs, and I call 866-229-3663. There's a gal over there named Wendy, and she fixes me up and with the natural herbs. I mean, folks, there's for every ailment, God has given us natural herbs. And you get the best if you go to Apothecary Herbs. You got the top of the line right there. Right, Wendy?
Well, we do. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, we do have a calcium liquid. And I've used this on animals, too, that have been injured. So your body not only uses calcium for bones, but all your connective tissues. So that's ligaments, tendons, skin. You repair quickly when you can use those plants with the calcium in it.
All right. So you have the calcium formula for bones and muscles and skin and immunity.
Yeah. I mean, I had a black lab that got bit by a copperhead years ago, and he was probably about 6 or 7 years old. And the vet said that he got bit on his front paw. And the vet said that the way pets like dogs handle the venom is the skin around the bite's going to become necrotic. In other words, all the tissue will die and then turn dark and fall off. And they metabolize the venom okay, the vet says, but it's the bite site that's the problem. They worry about infection and maybe having to amputate or maybe doing skin grafts because they say none of that tissue's coming back. Well, I gave my dog some comfrey root along with some other herbs, and then 2 weeks later I took him back to the vet, and his paw was like the other paw that didn't get bit, and they were totally freaking out. They go, what did you do? And I told them. I told them what I did, and I said, do you want to learn how to do that? And they said no.
Oh, jeez.
No.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if I ever get bit by a copperhead, I want you to do it for me, Wendy.
Well, we have a snake bite kit. That's what happened out of that whole episode with our dog, Doc. Doc brought forward a snake bite kit, a natural. If you can't get to medical attention in a timely manner, you'll want to have something as a backup.
All right. Here's what I'd do. I would go to, on the Internet to thepowerherbs.com, or I would call 866-229-3663. I'd get her catalog. In that catalog, it's got just about all of the natural, what God gave us. See, God gives us the natural herbs, folks, and the devil gives us the drugs. So which one are you going to choose?
Right.
All righty, there you go. And I know you're going to take off on me because you need your beauty sleep, and I know that you've had some, you've been... Well, you've had your troubles with your eyes. What happened to you with those chemicals and stuff? So, anyhow,
yeah,
I appreciate.
We're getting better. We're making progress, but my eyes do get tired. You know, not like they used to. So I have to go rest them a little bit.
Well, he gave you two of them. Just cover one up and use the other. Do you?
Yeah. Okay, Pat.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thanks for being here with us, Wendy, tonight, and you always have such interesting information, always.
Oh, well, thank you. I've enjoyed every minute with you and Pastor Joe, and I hope you have a good rest of the show.
Thank you for your support,
for
your donations. Yes, your pledge. All right. Folks, we got
to
say Deacon John pledges 100, and Claudia in Illinois pledges 100. Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Claudia. We'll be right back right after this. We got a whole lot more, and the lines are open. Be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.